So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 103. I'm going to be reading verses 8 through 18. I'm going to be reading from the ESV. Psalm 103, 8 through 18. And this is the word of the Lord. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The word of the Lord.
Morning, Water Dam. Happy Mother's Day. Or no. Happy Father's Day. I'm not tired. I'm kind. I'm okay. I think I need another cup of coffee. Oh, boy. Well, listen, I wanted to say, I've never seen Brian Day sing like that. I was like, I heard his voice when I had my head down, and I was like, oh, they got him out there leading. That's good. Good stuff. You guys did a great job. I forgot to tell Dan about this. Charlie Zawadny had surgery last week on his arm or wrist area, hand. He's been dealing with gout and some infection in it. He's got sepsis now, and he's been admitted into St. Clair Hospital. So please pray for Charlie Zawadny this week. Pray that he's able to get on his feet. That really knocks you down, and so it's very serious. So please pray for him, and because he's been struggling with this for a while. And I talked to him, I think it was a couple weeks ago, that he was talking to me about it. Told me he was going in for surgery last week. So he went in last week for the surgery. Now he's been admitted to the hospital. So please pray for him. He owes me breakfast. And so if you're listening, Charlie, you got to call me. And so we want to try to get him back on his feet. We want the Lord to help him and help Rachel and the Wetzel family. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the good things that you provide for us, especially that you are our Father in heaven, and that we can pray to you if we know you as our Father. And we can come to you if we don't know you as our Father yet, that we can cry out to you for forgiveness of our sins, that your love, your steadfast love, is ever present. So, Father, we pray, God, that you would help all of us understand that today. When we think of our Father in heaven, Lord, help us to be shaped by what your Scripture says. We thank you, Lord, for our godly dads and grandpas and all the people that are in our lives. We pray for your blessing, if we still have them. We give thanks for those that have passed on and went to you. We pray, God, that you would help us, and we pray for Charlie. We pray, God, that you would just take away his infection. We pray that you would strengthen his body and help him in his time of sickness on his sick bed. We pray, God, that you would bring help from above. We thank you for Phil being here today, and we just pray and thank you that his eyesight's good, and we pray, God, for your blessings on him as well. Pray for all of our people, We thank you, God, for this day. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wanted to talk about God as our Father today, as in celebration of Father's Day. I've done a lot of sermons on fathers, but father brings a connotation to some people that's good. I had a great father. I was adopted. My dad always told me he loved me. He was always there. And then others had a father that maybe wasn't there and was distant and detached. And so we look at our father. And I wonder if you've ever had anybody talk about God as father. In other words, you hear this statement. Most of us have probably heard the statement, we are all God's children. How many of you have heard that? We are all God's children. Most of us have heard that at some point. And it's an interesting statement. We are all of God's children. We're all made in God's image. And so everyone recognizes that we are made in God's image. We've been made in the Creator's image. And Isaiah 43 says, 43:7 says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. So if we've ever had a kid ask us, what's my purpose here? Tell them Isaiah 43:7. They were formed by their Creator to bring him glory. And kids need to be anchored to that, because there's a lot of stuff out there that's trying to get them to doubt that aspect of it. So I wanted to read an article that's written by Marno Retief on June 11th, 2019. It's called God Our Father. I don't want to read the whole thing, but I want you to hear it, some of it. He says, the first article of the Apostles' Creed affirms our faith in God the Father, that God is not some impersonal, indifferent, impersonal force. He is a personal God. God is a father. But still, how should we understand the term father? Firstly, we understand that we call God Father because he's the father of all creation. God is the creator of all life. The Apostle Creed affirms God as the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, an idea firmly rooted in the Bible. In the Old Testament, Israel recognized God as their father and creator. Thus, Moses can confront Israel by asking, is this how you repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Isn't your father and creator? Didn't he make you and sustain you? It's in Deuteronomy 32:6. You remember what Abraham did? He threw all the gold in and said, a calf came out. I don't know how that happened. And they started worshiping a gold object. And so listen to that question from Moses again. In this statement in Deuteronomy, he says, is this how you repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Isn't he your father and creator? Didn't he make you and sustain you? It's a sarcastic question by Moses. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 10, since the prophet Malachi asked, don't all of us have one father? Didn't one God create us? Malachi 2:10. In Acts, Paul even quotes a pagan Greek poet to make a similar point. He said, for we are his offspring in Acts 17:28. God as the creator has close ties with the notion of fatherhood. However, we need to be careful in the interpretation to interpret God's universal fatherhood in the wrong way. All people owe their existence to God. Therefore, in this limited sense, God is the father of all. But this does not mean all people are children of God. All people are made in the image of God. But listen to what he says. It does not mean that all people are children of God. In his grace, he makes us sons and daughters. All people who trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are adopted into the family of God. They become sons and daughters of God the Father. The Bible says in John 1:12, and this is a prolific verse for you if you want to go look at it. He says, to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's a powerful statement. It's actually a promise. We can't take it for granted that we're in the family. My dad and mom adopted me. They took me home. They didn't know what they were getting. But they kept telling me, I'm loved. I am their son. We are adopted into God's family when we become sons and daughters of God, when we receive Jesus Christ. The spirit of adoption. He talks about that. The Apostle Paul explains how this adoption connects us to God as a Father. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:6. It's because the Holy Spirit is present in our lives that we have both the right and the freedom to call God our Father. So the idea is that when we become saved, to all who did receive him, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it tells us when you receive Christ by faith, that he gives you his Holy Spirit. His Spirit indwells you. He gives you his Holy Spirit, which is called the good deposit, the earnest, that you can cry, Abba, Father. I mean, think about that. For Israel to hear that you could call God Daddy was shocking to them. Because it meant there was an intimacy that they hadn't experienced, that God was actually their father, that you could call him dad. And so whether we have a good earthly father or not, we know what a good father should be and what a good father should do. God gave us an innate understanding of a universal need for a good father, the need to be protected, loved, guided, valued, even disciplined. And God will, he says, God disciplines those whom he loves, right? And God will fulfill the role in our lives if we let him. No one must be truly fatherless because God is the perfect father. He made provision for everyone to become a child of God of his. A.W. Tozer wrote, the Almighty God, the creator of all things, sees you, knows you, and is always near to offer a perfect Father's love. My dad would always tell me that I was loved because I was adopted, right? So am I safe here? Will they keep me? Or if I mess up, will they give me back? Get a refund? He's too much. He's over the top. No. I was never threatened with that. My dad always wanted me to know that I'm in the family. And God is no different. God wants us to come to him. God wants us to come to him and receive him as our father. He wants to adopt us. He wants you to know that you can't, he's not going to read. His steadfast love is a picture of God's love that doesn't end. It's unfailing. We sing a song. Melissa, she said it reminded her of this. She's my go-to when it comes to hymns. And she just got all these old songs in her head. She says, we are celebrating this. She said, the steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases. His mercies, they are new. They are never come to an end. And then it's the chorus. They are new every morning. They are new every day. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. O Lord, the steadfast Lord, love of the Lord never ceases. I'd sing it for you, but I'd ruin it. I can't remember the tune. What kind of father is God? You think he'd like to grow up in his house? I mean, literally in his house. I would. Why would I do that? Well, we are assured that the Father has compassion. He says to us, the psalmist David writes this in Psalm 103, verse 13. We'll start in the middle there. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. What a stark statement that is. David describes God as his father. As a father who shows compassion on his children. It's intended to know that God is for us, that it describes God as our Father and His compassion is there for us. Like a father shows compassion to his children, God is caring. He's compassionate towards us. Some of our Bibles say He pities us. He moves towards us. Just like a loving father feels the weight of their children's pain, God sees us and He moves in. He is not distant, detached, or indifferent. He is not folding His arms in frustration. You know, I remember doing that with my kids. I probably didn't have this going on, but I probably had this going on, you know. All it took, you know, like we're at the table. You know, laser lock.
Remember, I am your father. I brought you into this world. I'll take you out.
Right? That's what that was about, you know. Like the iron fist, you know. But God's, He is not distant. He's not detached. This is from a quote from Jim Murrell. He is not distant, detached, or indifferent. He's not folding His arms in frustration. He is loving. As a father shows compassion. Verse 14 says, for He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. In other words, He knows our frame. He knows how we're built because He built us. He remembers that we are dust because having Himself made man of the dust, He remembers that He is dust, not only by our constitution, but by sentence. Dust thou art, He considers, and dust thy will return. He considers the frailty of our bodies and the folly of our souls. How little we can do and expects accordingly from us. How little we can bear, and He lays according upon us in all ways, which appears in the tenderness of His compassion. He knows we're dust. So what we have is a loving God that shows compassion to His children. John Piper says, when you see a good father, you're seeing a picture of God. Or to put it another way, God designed human fatherhood to be a portrait of His own. Fatherhood, in other words, of Himself. God had a son before He created Adam. He was God the Father before He was God the Creator. He knew what He wanted to portray before He created the portrayal. That's a very interesting statement if you think about it. Fathers showing our children what God is like, which means that Father's Day is the clear implication of all of us fathers is that we are designed to display the fatherhood of God, especially, but not only, to our children. And that implies that today we learn to be fathers watching God father His children, and it implies that children today learn what God's fatherhood is like largely by watching their fathers. That's scary. You remember me, because here's me. You know, I'm as imperfect as I am. I got mad, and I reacted, and I slapped my hand down on the table. You guys remember this, that Melissa went out and got this nice piece of glass to protect her grandmother's table from Rice Krispies and milk, and it turns into dried concrete after a while, and you can't get it off. You have to scrape it off, so she bought a piece of glass. She went and had it cut and beveled the whole nine yards. I was impressed. I, in split seconds, slapped my hand out on that table and cracked the thing from one side to the other, and my kids still remember that to this day.
You remember, Dad, when you broke the table?
Yes. Yes, you won't let me forget it either, will you? So God says that look to the Father, and as imperfect as we are, guys, don't give up. Go to your children and talk to them about those times you messed up. If you messed up, fess up. James Merritt, I love that. Guys, we need a goal to seek to be more and more to be the kind of father who shows compassion to his children. Making a living is great, okay? We all need to make a living. Yeah, we know that. Chuck Swindoll says, making a living is important, but making a life is more. Your children will never remember what you made, but they will never forget how you lived. I cannot, he says, remember what my father made, but I remembered what he modeled. Have you noticed that fathers get a bad rap these days? But sometimes it's well deserved. Some fathers were not there enough. Some fathers did not provide enough. And others weren't strong enough. And still others did not care enough. And he says, the list keeps getting longer. But notice, my friend, that God shows compassion. So we go back to the beginning with the psalmist calls us to bless the Lord, O my soul. If you look back at the beginning of chapter 103, Psalm 103, and you look at verse 1, he says to us, to his soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his blessings. Now, this is David talking. Remember that. This is David talking. Forget not all of his blessings. Have you thought about the blessings of the Father? Do we ever take the blessings of the Father's home for granted? Sure we do. You grow up in your house, it's like you don't think about it. Everything's good. Somebody cooks you 2 eggs in the morning, gives you a piece of toast, slaps some orange juice in your face, sends you off to school. You get up and you come home, the door's not locked. The house is hot. The house is cool. It's warm. You come into that house. In this parable that Jesus told us about a father that Dan mentioned earlier is the parable of the prodigal. The father that had 2 sons, though, the younger son selfishly asks for his inheritance before the father's actually dead. He walks away from his father and is known as the prodigal son. I think he was somebody that forgot all of his father's blessings. As I studied this and I pondered about what this prodigal was like, how many of us know that the prodigal son must have grieved the father's heart when he asked for his inheritance early because he knew he wanted to leave? He had a sense that his kid was ready to get out of his house, get out from under his roof, get out from his rule, right? And so that grieves us. You know, we know that we want you to grow up and be good young adults someday and men and women and be a good father someday or a good daughter, good mother someday. And his youngest son is asking for all of his money. And so what do you do? What happens as a father? You know that when you give a bunch of cash to a kid, to somebody that thinks they know everything. I mean, that's where I was at when I was 18 years old. I knew nothing, though. I was a rebel without a clue. And so he's given a bunch of cash, and he moves out, and he goes out into the far country. No authority, no curfew, no rules. Goes to the far country to run around with his friends. What could go wrong? What do you think happened to all of his money? It burned a hole in his pocket. Wine, women, and song. He started living wild. And then he ends up in the pigsty. But what happens to him in the pigsty? He remembers the father's home, the house he grew up in. And what does he say in verse 15 of Luke 15, 15? He says, so he went and hired himself to one of the citizens in the country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He hits rock bottom. Desperation has set in. He longs for the food of the pigs. He was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. Where was his friends that he was running around with? Couldn't they give him any money? No. They're not around. Nowhere to be found. And then he remembers at that point, my dad treated the servants better than what I'm being treated. He remembers the father's love from being in the household. What are the benefits of the father? He says he forgives all your iniquity in verse 3. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. From the law court, he forgives all your iniquity. When we take communion, we're reminded of his benefits, right? That's how we remember. Forget not his benefits. That's what the psalmist said. David said, don't forget about it. Why did David say that? Because David forgot it, right? David went out and did whatever he felt like, even when he was a king. He wasn't a young whippersnapper. He did it when he was older. He says, forget not all of his blessings. He forgives all your iniquity. You don't think David felt good about that? From the law court. From the hospital, he heals all your diseases. God cares about our bodies. Now, he brings healing to us in this life, but sometimes it's in the afterlife that everything is done, that we will be made whole. Ultimate healing for those who trust in him for the age to come. From the slave market, the picture of redeeming the life of a slave. From the pit, where's that at? In the grave. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. From the bank room, he satisfies you with good things. What does it do for you? It renews your strength like the eagle's strength. How many of you know that the Father's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance? That's Romans chapter 2, I believe. David is celebrating and communicating to his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, praise the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. And then he says, forget not all of his benefits, the Father's benefits. The Father is compassionate. The Father, there's benefits. Forget them not, he says. And then he talks about the Father's love is unfading. You see, the Father's love is safe, David is saying. I can go back to him. I can go back to him. Even if I mess up and I fess up, God is safe. I can go back to my house. I can go back to my Father and find forgiveness. I can find healing. I can be renewed. I can find strength. Just like the prodigal, he says, I'm going to go back and talk to my Father, and I'm going to tell him, you don't have to call me a son anymore. I'll just be a servant. My servant, your servants get treated better than I'm being treated right now, you see. And he says, no. What does the Father's do? The Father welcomes him back. Dan talked about it. Gives him a robe and a ring. The Father's unfading love, that steadfast love that we're talking about, is important for us to have a picture of it. We can trust that the Lord is good. Matthew Henry says he's good to all. He is working righteousness and justice. He's fair. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Matthew Henry says he is good to all. He reveals himself to us. In verse 7, it says he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. He reveals himself also to us. You see, the church is blessed. We've been given a Bible. We've given it a Bible that we know the mind of God. We know what God wants. He gives us a picture of what a father should be like here. And he says the church is blessed for God to restore us to himself by revealing himself to us. General revelation. We can go out and look at creation. Romans 1 says you can see God's divine power and that men are without excuse. You think that just came out of nowhere? Don't let people tell you that. It didn't. You hear it in programs on Discovery TV, and I love to watch whale shows, but I hate when they say it evolved over time. Oh, how much time? Well, a long time. Whatever it took to get to that. You know, we were just a bunch of primordial ooze, and then it turned into a whale the size of a 100-foot-long boat. Right? That's what they tell you. Enough time. Enough stuff gets mixed in, and after a while, life comes. No. No, God doesn't say that. He reveals himself to us. General revelation by the revelation that God has put in front of us, in front of our face, that you can see every day. Specific revelation, you got a book in your hand, a Bible, or it's in your phone or your tablet. You have God's mind. He has revealed himself to us, his ways, his nature, his methods of dealing with children. of men, that they may know both what to conceive of him and what to expect from him. That was written by a guy named Dr. Hammond. Thirdly, I should say, he's slow to anger. He's not like me. He's better than me. He's slow to anger, which means he's patient. I'm patient sometimes if I'm in a good mood. Don't you laugh. I'm sure you're patient when you're in a good mood. And then when you're not patient, you're not in a good mood, right? That fuse is like, it has a lot to do with our emotions, right? He's a good father, doesn't walk away. This is a guy named Jim, I think it's Murrell. He said he's slow to anger. He's a good father who doesn't walk away from his child when they stumble. He doesn't leave them while they're learning and maturing. I like that. David is celebrating the steadfast love of the world, of the Lord. He's abounding, it says, in his love. He's overflowing. You can't use it up. Notice what it says there in verse 8. David is celebrating this love. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He is gentle. His motions are under control. He is slow to anger, which means he's patient. He's abounding in steadfast love. It means his love doesn't waver when we stumble. The steadfast Lord, they're new every morning, new every morning, new every day, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, O Lord. I'll have to have Brian Day get up here and sing this again. Sorry, Brian, I'm keep messing with you. You did a great job. God loves for us to stay consistent when you and I don't. When you and I don't. He's forgiving. His anger is not retributive. Go look it up. I don't even know if it's a word. It might be a word. Tim Keller puts it down into this language. He says it's not payback anger. Why does he say that? Because it's in the verse. In verse 9 and 10, he says he does not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. He doesn't, it's not tit for tat. Sometimes he overlooks our sin. And he's patient and loving. And it doesn't say that he doesn't get angry. Notice that. It says he's slow to get angry. He gets angry, but he's slow to get angry. And it's not forever. He doesn't harbor the anger for a long time. He does keep a little bit of a track of it, right? He disciplines those he loves. Why? Because he loves us. Listen to what Keller says. He says, what do we see here? We see a father who is slow to anger, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. The anger is not tit for tat. The anger is not retributive. However, if when a child humiliates you or embarrasses you or causes you pain in some very natural thing, we may pay back that child by using force. I remember I was like thinking about listening to this. I'm thinking, that's kind of me sometimes. It's like I could be large and in charge. And I would be like, you mess with me, it's the wrong person to mess with. I'm large and in charge, right? God's over top of that. Man, that's amazing. And he says in payback anger, you're trying to frighten your child. You're trying to scare them. I felt guilty when I heard him say this because I did that with my kids sometimes. It's like,
you are my child. I'm the one with the big voice. You need to listen to me, right?
I'm thinking, did I do that? Then you go through this whole thing with your dad. Was I a good dad or was I a bad dad? You know, that's like the struggle, isn't it? I'm not as good as God. I need to be more like God. You're trying to emotionally control your child. You hurt your child's feelings. They hurt your feelings, so you're going to hurt their feelings. You created unpleasantness for me, I'm going to create unpleasantness for you. Payback anger is poisonous and it never just passes over us. It leaves everything lush. It's not like a storm that leaves everything lush and green when the sun comes up. Payback anger is more like a storm that parks itself and it swamps and floods and destroys everything. This passage does not paint that picture of God, does it? Our Heavenly Father, it doesn't say He never gets angry, but our Heavenly Father is slow to anger, which means He's not out of control. His anger is temporary. He doesn't always chide. So there's two kinds of parents here that are being described. Well, we can think of two kinds of parents. One that's detached, that never gets angry because they don't care. Isn't that how you associate that? They're detached. They're disengaged, so they don't deal with you. They just roll their eyes and walk because they don't have to deal. That way it's easier, right? And then there's the other anger that's payback anger. A lot of anger, a lot of confrontation. The other one's more proficient. I think that it's easier to listen to Josh McDowell with this when he says rules plus relationship. You need both. You need a balance, a healthy balance of both. Because if it's all relationship, in other words, it's all I love you, I love you, I love you, no matter what you do, I love you, I love you, I love you, and there's never any boundary set, there's never any rules set, that's not really love. And then if it's all rules, you will mind. Here's my list of 10 or 20 or 30, 50 rules, and it's no relationship. Both, he says, leads to rebellion. So there's a healthy balance here. Children need a balance of rules and relationship, and God's slow to anger. He's forgiving. He does not utilize payback anger. He's not out of control. I like this picture that Jim Murrell writes. He says, God's love and compassion does not fade with our failures. You see, I can trust that. That's what he's saying. I can trust God. Just like the prodigal son, he says, my dad treated the servants better than I'm being treated right now. I can go back to my dad. My dad will, he had to feel a sense that, wondering what it was going to be like when he got home. But his dad, where was his dad? His dad was waiting and watching for him, ready to welcome him back as soon as he came home. And you remember how the older brother said, older brother, there's some reality in that. He says, you're going to welcome this louse back? And his dad said, yep. Your brother was lost, but now he's been found. He was dead, and now he's been made alive. Wow. That's the picture of the Father's love. So what am I telling you? What are we saying? What do we learn from this? You can come home if you're away. You can come home to the Father. The Father runs to meet the Son, and He will run to you. Luke 15:20. And if we're a father and your kid comes to you confessing and asking for forgiveness, welcome them home. Our face should reflect the Heavenly Father's face. Our face needs to reflect God's face, a face of grace. Our face, our tone, needs to reflect our Heavenly Father's tone. Our touch needs to reflect our Heavenly Father's touch. The Father threw His arms around the Son and hugged Him. Threw the robe around His shoulders, gave Him a ring, and welcomed Him home with a party, fed Him. He said, you're my son. You see, this is the Father's love. The Father loves like this. He is a Father running to meet us in this home. He is a Savior that's already knocking. You remember Revelation 3:20, go look at it. He knocks, waiting to come in. He is also, you will find, a Savior who pardons and painfully and plentifully redeems. Isaiah 55, 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Isaiah 55, 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God is a pardoning, plentiful Redeemer for us. Come home. Lastly, we find a Lord whose patience, it says, is perfect. The right balance, right? The right balance. You know, the New Testament uses the word Father more than 40 times. Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Forgive us of our debts. As we have forgiven our debtors. The Lord has perfect patience. We can return to Him. The story of the Father is that we're never so far away from God that we can never come back. It's a story of the cross that we see how it's a sinner in which we all are. We have all walked away from God into the far country. But we can come back, friend, because the Lord's love is safe. He's compassionate. Praise Him. Praise Him. Let not all of His benefits, don't forget Him. The Lord is faithful. The Lord's love is unfading. If you read last what we started with in verse 13, it says, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame." He knows our frame. And he remembers. He remembers that we're dust. We're dust. The steadfast love of the Lord is forever. It never ceases. It's new every morning. The steadfast love of the Lord. You can trust it and you can come to it. Let's pray. Father God, as creator of all the heavens and the earth, you are our Father if we've come to you. And we can say that you are our Father. We can trust your love. We can trust that you're slow to anger, that you will deal with us, that you are working justly and righteousness out. Father, if there's one person or two persons, people that are wanting to come to you right now, I pray, God, that if they haven't come to you, they would come now. My friend, we will have people up here ready to pray with you. That you can ask Jesus to come into your life. You can repent of your sins. You can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And God can be your Father. And He will give you His Spirit today. How do I know that? Because He said so. He said so. Come back to the Father. Run. Don't walk. Run into the arms of the Father. He is compassionate. Forget not His benefits. His love, steadfast love, is unfading. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here today and you would like to come up and talk to somebody about your salvation, that you would like to come to Christ, we have some people here that would meet you up front. They'd love to talk to you. We've had a couple people come up and receive Christ. We've had others that come up because they want to pray. And so if you'd like to pray, they would be happy to pray with you. But whatever's going on in your life today, let us hear the words of the benediction. The Bible says, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children, to those who keep his covenant. He remembers to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom over all. Bless the Lord, you, his angels, your mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Father, we pray that you would bless us today, that we would praise you as we walk and talk with you today. In Jesus' name, amen.